side, there's nothing right. On the right side, there's nothing left. So God is good regardless. But any area of your life that lacks hope, there is a lie somewhere that you're believing. And so we want to look at that this morning, and how do you readdress a lie that you've maybe been sucked into believing that is actually no truth about it for your life before God? Yeah? Because when our Father comes, he comes with hope. And hope changes, doesn't it? Now, the world's view of hope, those that don't know Jesus, is very much, well, hope is, I wish that tomorrow I could win the lottery. Or I wish tomorrow that I would feel better. There's always like it's like a longing hope, but they're not sure whether it's ever going to happen or not. But hope for a Christian is totally different, because we've already got the answer. It's the joyful anticipation of God's provision. So we're actually hoping on something that we know we've already got. We may not have seen it yet, but it's on its way. Yes, feel free to acknowledge it, because God's good. Right, so this morning let's take a little journey in Zechariah. We go to Zechariah chapter 9. That's one of the last books of the Old Testament. So you should find it. Go to Matthew and flip back. So there's sometimes that the circumstances that we find ourselves in life, just like your testimony this morning was so much about this. It ties in so well, so thanks for sharing that, Bob. Yeah. So God is in a process of moving us, because with God you never get to stand still. He's ever changing, his kingdom is ever growing, so therefore we've got to keep up with him. And where he is where you want to be. Amen? So let's take a look at this here. So I'm going to pull out a couple of verses, and then we're going to sort of unpick them a little bit and see what God's actually saying. So if you go to chapter 9 and verse 11, it says, "As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I have set your prisoners free from the waterless pit." Now, when the Bible speaks about, you know, there's a lot of prophetic symbolism in Zechariah, so we've got to look at it with that sort of pair of glasses on. But a waterless pit, what is water representative of in the Bible? It's representative of rain, it's representative of the Holy Spirit when it comes. So God's speaking to his people, saying that the prisoners are going to be set free from the waterless pit, which is a dry place, but they're coming into freedom, because they've got hope. And if you go to verse 12, it says, "Return to the stronghold, O prisoners, who have the hope." Very interesting. "The very day I am declaring that I will restore double to you." So here he's speaking about the church, saying, if you've got this prisoner mentality, and God's bringing you out in your freedom, he's bringing you out of a waterless pit. So that means he's taking you somewhere where there is going to be water, because he's going to fulfill his word. In verse 12 it says, "Return to the stronghold." What's a stronghold? Strongholds in this particular scripture is not reference to a hostage situation. The stronghold is a representation of church. So when you get your freedom and you're walking in it, you want to be in the house of the Lord. Because the Lord says, "Forsake not the gathering of the people." So there's a lot of stuff today about dispersing and going this way and going that way, and a smaller group would be better. I don't see anywhere in Scripture that God has changed his plan for the end times army. And we need to be very careful that we're not actually dissipating by trying all these different new ideas, but we're not dissipating or weakening the actual word of the Lord or his purposes. Because his plan is still for his bride. He loves his bride. He loves his church. So it's going to become victorious before he comes back. So a stronghold is a safe place, and you want to be in it. And it says that And the very day I am declaring that I will restore double to you. Wow. He's going to restore double. He's not just going to give you a little bit. He's going to restore a bountiful measure to you. Because that's who your Father is. That's why he said when we were talking last week in Matthew about if you ask your Father on earth for a rock, you know, for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. How much more is your Heavenly Father going to bless you? Because he's a God who wants his people blessed. Because he's a God who, as he gives us hope, he is hope. And we walk in his hope because we know who we are. So when circumstances come against you in life, and say you've got this massive bill and inland revenue, so I'm just taking an example here. Inland revenue comes after you and says, you actually have to pay back 5 years of benefit. And we want like 10 grand of you within the next 2 weeks. What do you do in that scenario? Instantly in the human nature, we actually reel back a bit because it's like, oh my days, I'll end up going to prison. I can't do this. It's impossible. And so you end up, fear begins to encroach upon you, and you actually start to shrivel because of what has come against you. That thing that's coming against you is stealing your hope. It's stealing your rights to live as a son and an heir of your Father. Because in reality, God already knew that was coming towards you. So you can stand with assurance that when things have got come against you, the first thing you need to do is you enter into the place of praise. You take your eyes off the fear scenario and you put your eyes on the Father and you begin to worship Him, begin to praise Him. Father, I praise you today because I know who you are. And over and above what I see in front of me and what's coming at me, I know you're greater. And I know that you have an answer. Give me the answer, O Lord. So you actually take your focus off the enemy's thing to grab you and start and snare you and hold you, and you turn your focus on your Father from whom all answers come. Amen? Yes. Because he is faithful. He's good. And if he's talking about a double portion, well then, he's got it covered. Sometimes we just need to stand and watch and see. What's that scripture says? Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we need to place ourselves in that place. It's like sitting yourself in the Father's lap, lying back in his arms, and allowing him to take care of what's going on around your life. Because sometimes impossible situations that come against you, in the natural, you can't help. But God has got an answer. God has got wisdom and strategy to give to you that will actually walk you out of where you are. Amen? He's a good Father. And if you get to verse 13, for I will bend Judah as my bow. What does Judah represent? What's Judah representative of in the church? Praise. Now watch this. I will bend Judah as my bow. So he's going to take praise. But in a bow, you need something to fire out of it. I will fill the bow with Ephraim. What is Ephraim a representative? Yeah, it's representative of an arrow. But as a tribe, Ephraim represents God's provision. It's not provision, it's fruitfulness. So it represents strength and fruitfulness. So God's going to take his praise bow and he's going to fire the arrow of fruitfulness. Why does he fire an arrow of fruitfulness? Because out of praise, he releases the arrow that brings fruitfulness. And when a bowman actually sends a shot, he aims to hit the target. He doesn't ever aim to miss. So God's in a plan and purpose of doing that. He said, I will fill my bow with Ephraim, and I will stir up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and I will make you like a warrior's sword. So God has given the provision, and if we praise him, it allows him to pull the bow and release fruitfulness towards our life. Yeah? That we begin to become fruitful, we get to get that extra portion, that doubling up of what is due us. Because sometimes when you've been a prisoner and you've been a captive and God walks you out into freedom, He not only gives you what you need, but He gives you more. Yeah? So this year has been a sign from the Lord that God's coming with more to the church, not just in this nation, but in other nations. But a sign was released this year that actually impacts this nation, and we will get to impact other nations again in the future. Amen? Not only that, but a sign released in the atmosphere is going to put a shift in the atmosphere that calls nations to hear. Nations are going to come. Nations are coming and coming to see church over in Pool. Valerie's coming here. Nations are going to come to this church. Swiss is here. Yeah, so hallelujah for the Swiss. So nations will come to this nation. Why? Because the glory of the Lord is arising over this nation for such a season as we have never seen before. Because it's hope rising, and we carry hope. And then the Lord will appear over them, and His arrow will go forth like lightning. And the Lord will blow the trumpet and will march in the storm winds of the south. Who's in the south? Who's got this going down? We're in the south. This is a word from the Lord that God's going to do something when the south of this nation is going to impact the nation. Amen? We are in a good, well-positioned place before God to see what's about to happen, but be the people in the midst of what's happening that He's calling, step up, come walk with me. Come let hope stir, because if you're a hope carrier, you can't help but impact people around you in the world. Amen? Amen. So we go down to verse 17. It says, for what comeliness and beauty will be theirs? Grain will make the young men flourish, and new wine the virgins. Now what do you mean by that? Well, again, if we look at grain in the Bible, grain is representative of bread. Bread is representative of the Word. Yeah? Hi Tim, how you doing? And not only that,
I'm here for God's blessing, Lord.
Come on, you're in the right place, Tim. And new wine for virgins. New wine, Holy Spirit. So it's when I've got to be careful how I put my fingers up. But when two come together, when you get the Word and the Spirit coming together, that is mighty. Because it's the way God intended it to be. So there's beauty in the midst of the Word. And the Word is there because it's spoken. It doesn't return void. But when the Spirit comes out and we are empowered by the Spirit, the Word that we have in us goes to another level. And God begins to enlighten. God begins to unveil our eyes and let us see scriptural truths. It's like the things that are in the hidden places, God takes the scales back and lets you see it. Yeah? He is so good at all this. And then if you go into chapter 10 and verse 1, what does it say here? Ask rain from the Lord at the time of the spring rain. Why are you asking rain of God when it's the rainy season? I think if God's up to pouring rain out, that's going to cause vegetation and the earth to sprout with newness and freshness. That is me telling me that I need to align my prayers with what God is already about and doing.
Yeah.
So if He's already pouring out rain to cause growth to come forth, then my prayer should be, please Lord, send more. My prayer has to be lined up with His.
Yes.
We have to be pursuing where He's at, what He's doing, and get in line. Because when we line up with what the Father is doing, there is power that gets released. And Jesus comes in the back of it. And things shift. People come to know Jesus. Problems disappear. Deaths go. Because God can't help Himself but come in the back of His Word. Because it's His nature to do so. He loves us with abundance. And He will not fail. And He will give them showers of rain, vegetation in the field to each man. It's not just for one, it's for each man. The teraphim speak iniquity, and the diviners are lying visions, and tell false dreams, and comfort in vain. Therefore the people wander like sheep. They are afflicted because there is no shepherd.
Whew.
My anger is kindled against the shepherds, and I will punish the male goats. So the Lord's actually bringing a warning here to shepherds that are not doing what they should be doing, not caring for the flock. And God says he'll stand against that. He'll come. Because they're not lining up with his will, and they're blocking him from moving forward with the people. Strong words, but truth. We go down to verse 6 then. I will strengthen the house of Judah. What's Judah again?
Praise.
So not only do we get to praise him, but he's coming to strengthen the praise. He inhabits praise. He loves it. It's part of his nature. And I will save the house of Joseph. What's Joseph representative? Dreamers. So praise is back at the church. Dreams are coming back into people. There's the fulfillment of the Joel prophecy in the last days. Come on. And God's doing something new right now in our midst. Before we walk right into 2019, God's telling us today, get ready, folks, because it's coming.
Absolutely.
We need to leave this year behind and thank him for it, praise him for it, but praise him for what's coming. Because when he comes with the rain, we need to see it and we need to be praying into it, saying, okay, Lord, I see what you're doing now, give me more, bring more, water the ground even more. Let us see your kingdom released. And it says here, I will bring them back because I have had compassion on them. Now, this is key. God has compassion. So we'll speak a little bit more about that later. And they will be as though he had not rejected them, for I am the Lord their God, and I will answer them. So whatever you ask, he's going to answer. And that's out of Matthew as well. And it says in verse 7, Ephraim will be like a mighty man. Now what's Ephraim representative again? Fruitfulness. Strength. Fruitfulness. So Ephraim will be like a mighty man. Come on. Where are the mighty men?
He's coming on clouds of fire.
He is,
he's coming.
Yeah. And their heart will be glad as if from wine. Are you listening to this, men? And I'm not just speaking to men, this is men and women. But his father says, Ephraim, fruitfulness will be like a mighty man, and their heart will be glad as if from wine. They ain't got no wine, but they're connected with the Spirit of the living God. The Word and the Spirit have come together. And there's power in that, but it releases something. It releases hope. It releases joy. And later in that verse it says, and their heart will be glad as if from wine. How many times have you seen men happy in church, and they're not worried about what they look like or how they need to be in church, but they're actually so relaxed, they know their God so well, that they're actually prepared to be joyful and almost look like a child in the midst of people. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And man, we need to return back to the joy of the Lord and start operating in it. We need to show, because look what happens when we show joy. Indeed, their children will see it and be glad. Their heart will rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because they've seen the example of the fathers.
Yes.
And the fathers need to step up in this generation and show our children that there is something greater than what they're being offered in the world. And it's in the house of the Lord. It's in the stronghold. The place that God has prepared for his people to dwell in safety and security, but from that place go out and do antics and tactics that actually win the loss.
Can I be honest, when you know your dad's beyond, you can do anything.
Yeah. But you want to get involved, don't you, Tim?
Sure.
I remember as a young lad, my father was like a football maniac. It almost felt like he lived for football. Football, football, football. Now, that did me damage, because I wanted to back away from it, because I wanted to watch a western. I didn't want to watch Last of the Day. But anyway, so my dad was focused on football. His heart and his desire was football. But I could only watch so much football with him, because as a child, what he was showing me, I got bored, because I wanted to go and do the stuff. I just didn't want to watch people do it. I wanted to be out there in the field, kicking the ball. So there's something about what a father shows his children, the example that he puts up with, actually takes your children and they want more. And they want to get out where it's happening. So we have fathers in the church. We need to be ready to actually sow into our children. If the joy of the Lord is saying you're a real man today, because you're not scared of how you look or foolish or anything like that. You've overcome your pride. And you want more of God in you that releases joy than you're worried about what people think about you. Because when you carry the joy of the Lord, others are attracted to it because you become an attractive person. You become an attractive light that people are drawn to.
Drop dead gorgeous.
I know I am, Jim.
I don't do proofread, bro. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Yeah. Real men.
But it's good. Real men are called of God to set the example.
Mm.
You know, so when we're declaring over the Lord,
forgive me. Sorry. You're gorgeous, yeah. You're not my child, okay? No, and I don't do that.
Yeah.
God bless you. Forgive me.
So, I think it's we should not have any fear as believers. We should not have anything coming against us because of our stance of stepping into a place of praise and turning our gaze onto your Father. Because it only takes one look from our eye and his affection turns towards us. That's Song of Solomon, chapter 8. And that's how much he's waiting and desiring for us to turn our attention and our affections towards him. And doesn't have to be when the day of trouble comes. Because you can praise the Lord any day about anything. Because praise should continuously be in your heart. Because you're excited about your Father that loves you, and you know who you are as a son and a daughter. And you know who your Father is. And you want more of him. So you'll praise him, because out of praise, he turns his attention towards us, and he comes. If we were all praising him every day of the week and coming next Sunday, I wonder what we'd be bringing to share.
Can I be honest? I'd find it easier if Jesus Christ was a woman. Because when I'm going to a man and saying, I love you, Jesus, I don't do that stuff, you know?
That's for the heart.
How do I deal with it?
That's for the heart. The Father, it's the Father's heart, Tim. It's learning that the Father loves you. And because of your earthly father, you've got a misconception of the heavenly
father.
My mother
was a prostitute. I have no shame.
My father,
I was 21.
So the example of the father that you've had through life hasn't been the example of your heavenly father. Yeah.
Well, I do. So
but you have a heavenly father now who loves you so much more. And he's going to prove to you, Tim, what it is to be a son of it. I know you find that hard to see, but it's coming to you because it's his heart, and he gives you good gifts because you're his son.
I come here for God's blessing.
Yeah.
Special forces board. I've got to do some stuff you have no idea of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've exposed one of the biggest drug, pedophile, human trafficking, you name it. What? Probably in history, actually.
Yeah.
So I need your prayers, and I want God's blessing, because
you got it, buddy.
I'm going to go out, I'm smart, I said, I totally respect you in sharing your hard work. But look at that, that's human organs being sold.
Yeah.
And I want the name of the guy. I was in Cambodia, he's doing that to children, yeah?
Yeah.
Problems disappear. Forgive me, Pastor.
Come back in a minute or two.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I know you will. Bless you, Tim.
I'm not the regular church for
you. No. You bring a bit of life and spontaneity at the end of the room, Tim. It's all good. Bless you, man. So, I want to take us now into the New Testament. So, we've been speaking about hope and about how much God wants to bless us as children of the Lord. We should be excited today because of what our Father wants to do with us. So, remember last week, we spoke about the broad and the narrow path, and how after time of walking in the believers, we slip back into the old ways. Because why? Because we're not involved with praise. We're not involved with focus to the Father. And keeping ourselves in line with His will is part of praising Him and spending time with Him. And that's how we stay on the narrow way. Because it says a few that find it, but when you find it, what is it? When a man finds a pearl in the field, he'll sell everything he has because that's precious. And he wants the precious. So when you touch a little bit of what God's doing, you want more. It's like 10 years ago now, when us guys got here over in Lakeland to the revival that was happening over, we went because we were hungry for God. And we were hungry to see what God was doing in that nation so we could get captivated and bring it back. So there was something in it when you stirred it. When God TV were putting it out over the channels at night and you sat there and you touched the screen, I got absolutely blasted by the Holy Spirit. How is that possible when it's happening in America and you're touching a TV? Because God is omnipresent. His presence can be touching you, touching someone in America, touching somebody in South America, all at the same time. That's how big our God is. He's not restricted. But we think of him as restricted, but he's not. He can do anything, anytime, anywhere he wants. He's God. And we need to come into alignment with him. So when you look at the chapters that we looked at last week, God was doing what with the disciples? He was preparing them for what was coming. So he was taking them through like a quick equipping and making sure that they knew, look at this. This is maybe happening, but you need to understand that when it comes, you'll do this. So he was preparing his disciples for what was happening. And then in chapter 8, what happens? Watch this in chapter 8. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. Why did crowds follow Jesus? Because they've heard stories about what's happening. And they come to see. Curiosity. It's like the light. It becomes attractive. People are attracted to you. And in verse 2 it said, and a leper came to him, bowed down before him, and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So the crowds followed, but one leper came forward because he had heard people had been healed. So those in need come to Jesus. Those in need are looking for answers. Those in need are looking for you to be the light in the excellence in the generation here, in our town, in our workplaces. Because how will they know what you carry if they do not see you operating in it? So we've got to rise up in this next season and be ready to take a risk. You may be shaking in your boots, but when the Holy Spirit prompts you, do not back down. Stop your mind from telling you, oh, this could go really bad, and think, if Holy Spirit is prompting me, God is here in all his power and all his authority. And you've got a permission to go do exploits for your kings. When he turns up, take him and run with it and see where that leads. See what happens. And see how many people get impacted by it. And so he said, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. We're called to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. That's what we're called to do. Why are we called to do that? Because he has given us all authority. He has given us all power. It's at our hands. The kingdom of God is at our hand. So go there on some people. Sounds so simple. But it is. When you go do it, God turns up. I remember the first time I ever lifted somebody's legs up. He was sitting in a chair who had a bad back. And their leg was about that much shorter, one leg. And I thought, crumbs, Lord, you need to turn up. Because I had an audience watching what God was about to do. Had I ever done it before? No. Was I sure that God was going to turn up? Yes, but no. So, because I'm human. So I say, in Jesus' name, I want you to come and love this person, and I command this leg to grow. And the leg grew. God turned up in the midst of my weakness to fulfill his word and to show that person how much he loves them, that he wants to encounter them. Amen? That's how good the Father is. So watch what happens next. So in verse 5, and then Jesus entered Capernaum, and a centurion came to him, imploring him. So again, another person has heard about him, not even from his nation, a Roman, comes to him, imploring him, because he has heard stories about the goodness of this God. And Jesus, and he said, and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. We read earlier about the compassion of God. Jesus, the Son of God, felt compassion. And out of compassion, he said, fearfully tormented? I mean, what's that look like? But I'm sure it stirred something up in Jesus and said, hey, that's not right, and it ain't happening. And so he stepped forward to the mark, and he actually, because of this authority that the guy, the centurion, said that you don't need to come to my house, because I also, like you, have authority, and if I tell someone to do something, they'll do it. And so Jesus respected that, and out of that, he turned around and said, go, because all this already happened. So the centurion went home, and Jesus said, I love his faith. Because he was showing more faith than what he was seeing around him. That this centurion came with a heart to have his friend, his servant, healed. And Jesus did it for him. Amen? Let's take it a little bit further.
If a soldier asked you to go one mile, Jesus Christ would go with him too. Why did you do that, bro?
Yeah.
I've offended you, I've offended this church, and I want to apologize. I want to leave here with God's blessing, okay, bro?
Yeah, you will. You wait for it. Pray it into him.
Sinners come to church for a reason. If it ain't for playing church on Sunday morning, evening, or any afternoon, yeah?
Yeah, we're not here for that. So, verse 14, it says, when Jesus came into the potter's house, or Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in a bed with fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on him. So again, out of compassion, Jesus just touches the woman. So wherever you go, there's going to be people that aren't well, people that don't know Jesus but need help. If we carry the help, we carry the answer inside us, why don't we give it away? Give it away, give it for free. God's given it to us. Let's give it away. Let's see what happens if you step out of the box that you're in and offer it on the water outside of the boat. Amen? Go for a bit of wild side with God, but you'll be surprised what happens. And when the evening came, they brought him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. So when the demons come, Jesus said, hey, this is not your authority, this is not your place. Get out of here. Now watch what happens if, when we go a little bit further. And in verse 26, he said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Because this is when he's in the boat. He's asleep, and the storm comes, and he's fast asleep. But he said to them, he actually said, you men of little afraid, you're afraid, men of little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. So again, God was showing them what was in them. They had the right and authority to speak to that water as well.
On the Amen. Righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, a new creation, born again, right? But if I need the devil casting out me, then make sure you do it before I leave the building. Okay?
Yeah. So, verse 28, when he came to the other side in the country of the Gadarenes, two men who were demon-possessed met him as they were coming out of the tombs. They were so extremely violent that no one could pass by their way. And they cried out, saying, what business do we have with each other, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before our time? Now there is a herd of many swine feeding at a distance from them. And the demons began to entreat him, saying, if you are going to cast us out, send us into the herd of swine. And he said to them, go. And they came out and went into the swine, and there was about 2,000 of them in total, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank and into the sea.
What about the man on the Gadara, though? Cutting himself with stones, cell phone, injecting heroin, crack, all of it, yeah?
So these two guys were ruling an area out of fear because of what was inside them. And Jesus said, hey, not here anymore. When I'm walking past, this shifts, this changes, because I carry light. And my authority, you guys get out. Go. Now, if you want somebody like Jesus to come and wreck your business, and cast on them, on your herd, your 2,000 pigs into the sea, that didn't really go down very well, because he ran off to the village or the town and said, help! This crazy guy's up there. He may have sorted out the two demonic guys, which is good, but he killed all my pigs. What am I going to do? And so they came and asked him to move on. But the thing was, Jesus interrupted and actually dealt with a scenario that most people get okay about. Because if it happens regularly enough in society, people get accustomed to it. They don't see any longer that it's wrong, because it's almost a thing. Say, oh, leave it alone, it'll be fine. As long as you don't get near them, they'll not touch you. No. When we walk into a scenario like that, God is on us for to bring change. And we should be ready to bring change and to actually cast out what is not of the Lord. It has no more authority in that area, because we carry the authority in the area. We're called to be the head. We're not called to be the tail that gets wagged around. So you take the authority of Jesus that's in you, and you say, come out and go in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So God's good like that. So, and he said that in verse 13, he said, I desire compassion, not sacrifice. God's about the compassion. And if you get moved with compassion, there's something that stirs in you when you see something that's not well, or you see something that's going on that's not right, and you feel compassion rising in, that's the Spirit of the Lord in you. It's stirring you to go and do acts of service. Amen? So it's good. You've got to get ready for this, church, because it's coming. I'm telling you about it because I'm making you aware. So when it turns up and it encounters you, you got to get ready for it, because God's challenging you to say, step up to the mark. Swing your legs over the boat. Let's get out and walk in the water and see what happens. Yeah? You want to see people healed?
Yes.
You want to see the dead raised?
Yeah.
Anybody raise a dead person in here?
Yeah.
Well, I've seen my son, 19 months old, lips blue, stiff as, and Sharon prays over him, and his eyes open. And the doctors were giving up over.
And I passed over like less than about two months ago, okay? I was blue. When I came to, they said you were blue when you got here. I'm alive today because that same spirit that raised him from the... I don't know how I got out of there, but that's as real as I'm saying.
Yeah, that's the grace of God.
I've got no time for church or religion, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he has time for you.
That's why I'm here.
Because this place is the stronghold. That's what we were talking about earlier, Tim. The Bible says the church is a stronghold. It is where the Lord has ordained for the family to come together, to be together, and just to live and do life. But out of doing life, we get to do the fun stuff as well. We get to be in the community every week.